The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Now, food trucks have become a major part of Ireland's food scene, bringing everything from gourmet burgers, wood-fired pizza, seafood, Asian cuisine, and locally sourced produce directly to consumers. But behind the popularity of the movement is a challenging business model with rising costs, licensing issues, competition, and the ongoing struggle to find suitable sites and locations. Today we're looking at the opportunities and indeed obstacles facing food truck operators in Ireland. And I have three guests I want to introduce you to now. Kwanji Khan, he's the Bites by Kwanji. He's a man we know well. He's a food truck operator, a winner of the Battle of the Food Trucks with RTE. So he's a man who knows this game pretty well. Also joining us is Julia Hemingway from Julia's Lobster Truck over there in Clare. I can personally testify to the wonderful cuisine that Julia produces from her food truck. And our third guest is Nathan Diamond. He's from Ginger's Barbecue. He's a man I don't know, but I'm going to find out about shortly. So, Nathan, first to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this business of food trucks and, I suppose, location catering.
So, kind of during COVID, I kind of realised I didn't want to go back. I've been a chef 30 years, and I realised in COVID that I didn't want to go back to being head chef in hotels and restaurants anymore. And I started a catering company with a guy. That didn't work out. We kind of had a different way that we wanted to do things, but we had a truck. We were catering nice race courses. And when there was no racing on, I started doing a pop-up of Ginger's Barbecue from the truck, and it was going really, really well. And I just went from there, basically kind of, in the beginning we started, it was mainly barbecue and trying to do funky sides and just work with as many local producers as possible. And obviously then you're in it and you're kind of going, right, how do I make this work? So for me, we were starting to get private bookings. The festival side of it wasn't working out for me for a couple of reasons. I wasn't getting the ones I wanted. I'm not sure why. And it's expensive to do them things. Everything I cook is from scratch.
Yeah.
We don't buy sauces off the shelf. We make every single sauce that we use. We're basically all the sides are made from scratch.
Sometimes does it disappoint you that the consumer doesn't appreciate that? Like, cooking something from scratch is a major undertaking.
No, it doesn't, because some people are never going to get it. The busiest restaurant in the world is McDonald's. I don't get it. And you know, like, if you look at that as a fact, 80% of the people want to eat that kind of stuff. That's fine. Like, I'm trying to cater to people that kind of appreciate where stuff comes from, that stuff takes time and quality costs a little bit more.
Yeah. And you mentioned COVID there. Was because there was so much opportunity for, you know, delivered food for food trucks during COVID, some of that has remained with us, hasn't it, in terms of our interaction?
100%.
Yeah.
Like, the one thing that's grown for me is really, so casual weddings have been amazing, but then going to people's houses. If I go to people's houses, what I do with my truck, we can do some exceptional food, really good canapes, really good options on the meals, fresh ingredients, really good sides, lots of vegetables and fruit juice. But we give people back their kitchen. And what people don't realize is when you have a private chef in to cook in your kitchen, they kind of take over the social center of the house.
Of course they do.
If you have a truck outside, all the food's coming from inside. We deliver it in, we have waiting staff, depending on the event. Like, sometimes they'll come out to the truck and get served.
All right.
If that's the menu. But we give people their social space to have back in the kitchen. Cool. Everyone likes hanging out in the kitchen.
Let's talk to Julia Hemingway. How are you, Julia? How are things?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you again. I haven't talked to you in a while. Tell me, firstly, remind our listeners about your wonderful business, Julia.
Well, I cook and serve fresh seafood that I've got a great friendship with a fisherman who is just down the road from me. For about 25 years, I've known him. So I'm very lucky that he catches lobster, crab, mussels, oysters. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to buy them and cook them. And that's what I do.
And what you do, and again, you're very modest, Julia. I'm going to say things that, because I've experienced your lobster and your crab. You provide wonderful cuisine, and you're what I love about what you do is everything is so fresh, and yes. You don't complicate things. You keep things very simple, but everything that you serve is fresh, and I think you say it's from within 5 kilometers of where you produced it. So, what you do is focused, and it's wonderful, and it features local seafood, and as I said, you're so lucky to have that collaboration with the local fisherman that gives you the produce to do what you do. Is business good, Julia?
So, business is tough.
Right. Tell me more.
My challenge is a venue, a location. And that has been my challenge really for the last 2 years.
Right.
So I suppose that what I found is since COVID is that more and more pubs are serving their own food. So, it really suits me to park outside a pub that didn't serve food.
Sure.
That's what I was doing, and it was fabulous, and it worked for both the pub and for me really, really well, especially in Bell Harbour, where all my food is from, all my seafood and all my salad and vegetables. However, since that particular brilliant pub that I used to park outside closed and hasn't reopened. So, that's my challenge at the moment. But what I have been doing a lot of is weddings, private parties, really beautiful festivals, not the big ones anymore. So that's what I'm concentrating on.
Yeah, no, and that sounds great. And can I maybe just touch on the festival model, Julia? It's a challenging one in that, you know, you're having to channel your income through, I suppose, somebody else's cash register. You're obviously paying VAT. And then the model that some of the festivals use is that they take all the money and then they pay you a week or two later after they've taken their cut out of it. So you're kind of one step removed from your own finances, which must be very uncomfortable.
It's extremely uncomfortable. And if you're a small, like for my business, I have one truck. It's me and my staff. It's unsustainable. I can't do it. And also it's incredibly unfair as well, because as a small business owner, you're working very hard, producing everything to the highest standard possible, especially from really beautiful raw ingredients, and then you're leaving the festival site with absolutely no money, and you owe your staff their wages, and you owe your suppliers their wages.
Just before I bring in Kwanji, I'll tell a story of myself in my insomnia days. I was convinced to open up an insomnia, which we went and built in the VIP area of one of Ireland's major festivals. And I remember it to this day. I lost 10,000 euros over a weekend, and I worked like a dog all weekend, setting things up, building and I said, what am I doing here? I'm never, ever doing this again. Because I physically lost 10 grand. And I said, I never worked as hard to lose 10,000. Kwanji, you get me, do you?
Oh, yeah. It's easy. You know what I mean? It's a risk, Bobby, you know? So, absolutely. So, yeah.
Kwanji, thanks for joining us.
And thanks again, very much, Bobby, for having me.
For somebody who's remind us again about your own business, Bites by Kwanji and East as well.
So Bites by Kwanji, we started off, I used to have a restaurant called Bowls in Marlborough Street, and after COVID we decided to get a food truck, and we entered this battle of food trucks, and we won that. And then we started hitting out. So I bought a bigger one and we parked it up outside, like Julia, we parked it outside pubs, you know. And we did very well. We kept the staff going, you know.
Yeah.
And after COVID, we started doing a lot more festivals after that, you know what I mean? And kind of corporate bits and pieces, yeah. So
is your, does your festival experience bear out mine and Julia's? Not to be down on it.
Yeah, at the start now, we've been doing it for a good few years so now.
You get better at it.
We get better at it and we pick the right festivals to go to, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In terms of what you need to actually do the job, Kwanji, you talk about the fact that you have a production facility as well as the food trucks, that gives you an edge, does it? In terms of you can be a little bit more organized and you're less dependent on, I suppose, the things that can go wrong on the site.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once you produce it centrally.
Yeah, so look, we come from a chef background, you know what I mean? So we know the whole operation, what way it should be going out, you know? So basically, like, you know, if we have a production kitchen, we prep all the bits and pieces and we pack it up really well. And then we use the truck for a service, kind of chill serve kind of thing, you know what I mean? So we don't have to prep in it and skip that step, you know, that's in the truck, you know, because that could be a bit nightmare, you know?
And when you're going to an event and, you know, all events are it's got to be very challenging to predict, you know, how much food do I produce for a particular day? And it's always going to be a lottery. There's always going to be...
Yeah, you never want to run out, you know?
There's always going to be things like the weather and just things that... And, you know, you don't want to run out, but, God, you don't want to be left with a mountain.
Exactly,
food,
yeah. Look, I remember one time I had a festival and I was left over with nearly, you know, a quarter of, you know, the stuff that I should be selling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, lucky enough, I had a restaurant at the time and we could, you know, diversify stuff, you know, into the restaurant, into different menus, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Nathan, your business model has effectively worked to mitigate against that in some degree. So
it's evolved. It's evolved into being mainly corporate and private, but I also have a full-time job.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not the truck that's out there. Sometimes people see my truck and me in it and doing events and think I'm making a fortune. I have a full-time job Monday to Friday doing probably 50 hours a week in that as well. So, yeah, I'm busy. I use all my holiday to do corporate work for Ginger's Barbecue, but it's, you know, it is a slog and it's never easy.
Tell me about opportunities around things like day twos of weddings. That seems to be now part of the package where certainly either into the night or on day two of a wedding, a food truck of some description is produced and seems to be very popular with wedding guests.
To be honest, I only get, I'd say, maybe two or three day twos a year because, like, probably perceived as a little bit expensive. But last year we did 14 weddings. This year of about 7 full weddings where we actually do a new concept of wedding, a casual wedding where we do 7 or 8 nice tasty street food canapes, a really good main course using briskets and kind of whatever,
like, lovely.
Might use Goldsbridge organic trout, and then we do a dessert that people can walk around with. So what people want, a social wedding now, like, they don't want to sit down for 3 hours eating a 4-course meal. We have them sat down for about 45 minutes eating the main course. The rest of the time they're out there meeting the people they haven't seen for ages, having a good chat, lots of pod tables, people just eating really tasty snacks that go around for an hour and a half.
And again, I assume that's an affordable option.
It's cheaper than going to some of the hotels that all serve the same food.
Yeah.
And it gives people more freedom. And we do, like myself and Kwanji are really well trained in terms of, I don't know Julia's background, I'm not discounting her there, but we can offer, like, the canapé. I'm really proud of the canapés I offer. I love them. Like, when I'm serving them, I want to eat them all. And we do them hearty. We give people a really big display of things to do. And it always blows people's mind. What some people turn up and they think, oh, there's a chip van, there's a burger van. And then they start eating the food and they go, it's not a chip van.
Yeah, but that's the thing about food trucks these days. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, there's some really good trucks out there. You know what I mean? And I think it's part of a new business model for restaurants as well. And chefs kind of hitting out in different areas, you know, Bobby, because, you know, restaurants is tough these days, you know what I mean? And you need a different outlet. I think you need a couple of different outlets of revenue kind of income to support the whole, you know, the business, you know, so.
Julia, in terms of the makeup of your truck, what exactly do you have in there? Clearly you have, you know, you've refrigeration, you've got something have you an oven, have you a grill, have you a broiler? What's the makeup of what's in the truck?
I have a tar grill. It all runs on gas.
Right.
Which is not great for Dublin, because Dublin doesn't allow gas. But so I have a char grill, I have two hobs, and then I have a sort of proper range, like a range fryer.
Okay.
Which is sort of the traditional way to cook fish and chips.
Sure.
Which is it takes up quite a lot of space, but it really is brilliant. And anything I fry in there is fried in beef fat, which is pretty expensive, but it's fabulous. But my lobster is grilled on the char grill. And then I also have a sort of homemade barbecue that I put outside the truck for bigger events. So
wow.
For weddings and day twos, which I do a lot of day twos. Actually, but so if they want grilled lobster, that's how I do it.
Yeah,
big barbecue.
So effectively, then you designed this and sort of built it yourself according to the needs of what you actually serve.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Sort of three stations, and then when we're at a festival or a wedding, you know, I have sort of one member of staff. Well, it's me and two members of staff on each station. And that's the way it works, because it's a small space, but you just, you know, stick to that station and it works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kwanji, can I just ask you about maybe some of the other challenges? Insurance, electrical testing.
Yeah.
A fire cert. I didn't realise you'd need a fire cert.
Yeah, you need a fire cert because, like Julia, we use gas as well, but we have electric and gas. So we use gas for the cooking area. So we have fryers. We have two big trucks. So we have a 20-footer, and we also, that's for the bigger festivals. And then we have a little pod one that it's all electric. So that's great for around Dublin and bits and pieces, you know, so.
What about a revenue cert? That's often required, isn't
it? Yeah, so in some large festivals, like, you know, you have to send all your forms and, like, all the certs and stuff like that. And some of them do ask for a revenue clearance cert as well. So that you're kind of compliance and all that there, you know. So it's highly regulated, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great because it needs it, you know. So
yeah, well, it means that obviously if you've got to do all those things, that it keeps the cowboys out of the market as well.
Well, yeah, because, you see a lot of people, they were selling T-shirts last month and they decided to open a food truck, you know what I mean? So
no, you don't like to see that. last word to you, Nathan. You brought in some product which we're going to have a look at.
So
maybe... we got here, maybe walk us through.
So we've got Fay Cullen Farm wings. So the farm's like 6 kilometres away from my house, and it's just in my own barbecue sauce. It's a very Asian themed barbecue sauce.
I might taste one if I may.
Absolutely.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful sweetness off the barbecue sauce. Beautiful marinade. Oh, that's good.
That's your own sauce, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does a fantastic.
And you made that sauce from scratch.
Yeah, I've been making it. It took me about 6 months to develop it. I wanted it to be equally equally spicy, equally sweet, equally sour, and equally savoury. So it took me a while to get the balance that I wanted. But
I had it before years ago. It was very good. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm still just finishing my wing here as we wrap up the piece. But thank you very much for letting us into the world.
Thanks very much.
Of the food truck, Kwanji Khan. Julia Hemingwell, good luck to you, Julia, and I hope everything business gets better for you. And Nathan Diamond from Ginger's Barbecue.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you all very much for joining us this morning.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.